our Bibles, book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we are looking at the subject of prayer. And I want tonight to just preach on the Lord's outline for prayer. And this is something that I have on different occasions gone over. But as we have endeavored to understand that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and we saw that prayer begins in the heart of God and speaks to the heart of man, and man in turn hears God respond to that, as we saw last week, I think it's important that we not overlook the obvious, and that is the importance of praying and how to pray. And we see in verse 5 that prayer should be secretive between God and man. Now, there's such a thing as public prayer, like we just did tonight, but, you know, public prayer is going to be as effective as your secret prayer. Now think about that. So if a person prays outwardly in public and yet does not have a personal prayer time, that is really somewhat hypocritical. And so we have to understand. So when Jesus says in verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we know that this is a relationship with the Lord and with the Father. Verse 7. Now, another thing he tells us, and when ye pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Now, think about this repetition thing. Now, we just sang some songs, right? How many of you, and you don't need to raise your hand, but I'm wondering, how many of you, when you sing a song, it just went right over your mind, and you just sung it, and you didn't think about it? Vain repetition has to do with just going through the motions and the words without it being genuine, without it being certainly sincere. And so he says, when you pray, don't just do that which is repetitious or to be religious, because he even says they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, that's something I think we need to address, because obviously we're told that Jesus spent all night in prayer. But it wasn't like, okay, if I just keep repeating these words over and over and over, that God hears my prayer. And the fact is, the Bible tells us there's a reason why somebody might pray a long-term prayer, because of the fact of this idea of perseverance in prayer. But, verse 8, but ye, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, for ye ask them. Verse 9, but after this manner therefore pray ye. Now, Luke 11 says, and when you pray, then he gives this formula, this outline of prayer. You know, many call this the Lord's Prayer. I like to refer to it as an outline to pray. And I think when we pray, I think it is helpful for us to include or incorporate these elements of prayer, because of the fact that it covers all areas of life. And so, that being the case, I want to just spend a little bit of time talking about when we pray. Now, it tells us, after this manner, praying, our Father which art in heaven. Now, isn't it funny how the Catholic Church, many times they'll use this prayer as a fulfillment of what Jesus said about vain repetition? Because it's true that we could just say these words as if there's some kind of magic in the words. But no, he's not talking about just vain repetition, but really breaking this down and praying. So what he tells us is this. What you want to do is realize who you're praying to. You're praying to your Father. Now this shows us that this is a prayer for Christians. Because Jesus said in John 8:44, those who did not believe in Jesus, you are of your father the devil. And the works of your father you will do. But when the Bible tells us to pray, when Jesus says to pray to your Father, he's talking about our God. And he tells us here that when you pray, he says, first of all, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed is the word we get the word holy. And so we should understand that when we pray to God, we should come before him recognizing his holiness. Now think about this. I like to look at it this way. I like to say, okay, let's pray for God for who he is. And pray to God for what he's done. Now you can do that in a minute. You can do that in a few seconds. If you're genuine. Or you can pray for a while. Because when we think about who God is, what is he like? To praise him for who he is. We think of the attributes of God. What are they? Can anyone help me? What are some attributes of God? Holiness. All right, so we have to understand that we're coming before a holy God. And Lord, you are so holy. What else? He's righteous. He's always right. He is always on the right side of any given issue. What else? He's fair, okay, so he's always there. So I mean he is, what they say that is, omnipresent. You know, we get into the omnis, right? And he is always there, and you can count on him. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. All right? Now he's always fair, too. You know, so he's always just. He does not look on certain people and say, well, I'm going to be unfair to you, but I'll be fair to you. He would never do that. The Bible tells us that God is always fair. What else? He is faithful. What else? Sovereign. What's that? Long-suffering. We could go on all about these things. Now, he's omnipotent. These are these omnis. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is infinite. God is always merciful. He's gracious. We know he's loving. Now, think about that. You know, how much time could you pray, if you're thinking about time, praying through the attributes of God? You know, and saying, God, you are so good. You are so loving. You are so gracious. You are so kind. You're so powerful. And then to praise him for what he's done. See, we get into the area of thanksgiving, don't we? And I am so thankful of what God's done in my life. And I'll tell you this, when you come to God and say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I praise you for who you are and I thank you for what you've done. You know, you've started your prayer in a good attitude. Because we're a little bummed out sometimes about things that have happened to us. But the fact is, God is in control. So we find that we should worship God when we pray. we should consider His coming. See, that's what He tells us there in verse 9. Our Father which art in heaven, verse 10, Thy kingdom come. Now, again, we understand when we get into the dispensational study of that, is Christ's kingdom coming? What is that called? The millennium. So He is going to come, and of course He's going to come secretively. We sometimes call it the secret rapture belief. But, you know, He is going to come in the clouds, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we come to the end of the book of Revelation. One of the last prayers is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, if any man has this hope, what will it do? It will purify him. And Jesus is very well aware that when we pray, we should pray in a way that would expect His coming. He's coming again. And when He comes, He's going to make all wrongs right. So we should pray and say, Lord, come quickly. Thirdly, He says in verse 10, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Now what we are getting into now is submission to His authority. You know, God is in control of all things. And when we pray, we should be saying, now, Lord, I don't know if I like such and such, but Thy will be done. And God, You are in control. You know what You are doing. It's so important that when we pray, that we always put our hearts in the right submission attitude to God. Because sometimes what He does, His ways are not our ways, and our ways are not His ways. But we are told that we should seek His will. You know, George Mueller, he said that whenever he was seeking God's will in a certain matter, he said, first of all, I seek at the beginning to get my heart in such a state that it has no will of its own. And he said, 9/10 of difficulties are overcome when we are given over to what God is already says. And when our hearts, Mueller says, are ready to do the Lord's will, when we truly are in this state, it is usually but a little way of knowledge of what His will is. So, to say now, Lord, maybe you're praying this in the beginning of the day. I don't know when you have your devotions. But you say, now, Lord, whatever happens, help me to submit to what You do to me today. Then we're told, fourthly, he says in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. So what is he getting at? So is he just talking about food? Well, that would be included. But I believe he's talking about asking God for your daily needs. And you know what your needs are, or at least you think you know what your needs are, and you can bring those before God, and He can make it known to you in one way or another. Well, you don't need that as much as you think you need that. But Paul says in Philippians 4, that my God shall supply all your needs. And that would include financial needs, emotional needs, physical needs. Certainly, it's important that we pray and say, now, Lord, this is what I really need today. You know, we have not because we ask not. And it's important that we do come before the Lord and ask Him for our needs. Now, we talk about God's will. Do you think Jesus would tell you something that isn't God's will? No. So you can know when you pray this outline, you are praying according to God's will. And it's important that you are saying, now, Lord, You know what I need to do today. And you can just list them. You can say, now I need to get from my home to work, and I don't want to have any accidents. And Lord, when I get to work, you know I got this issue that's coming up that I got to deal with. And Lord, when I get home tonight, Lord, let me be a blessing and be sweet and lovely as a person to my spouse. You know, and to pray in such a way that would truly say, now, Lord, your will be done. But then he tells us what? He tells us, fifthly, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, in Luke chapter 11, he's very clear on that. He's talking about our sins. Now, we need to pray, and we need to ask God to forgive us of our sins. Maybe you thought some wrong things the night before, or maybe you did some wrong things the day before. And you come to God and you say, now God, forgive me. I've sinned against you. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. So we need to come before the Lord with confession. And we need to come before Him recognizing that He sees our sin. And the moment, the time we finally admit to our wrongs, then we're on the way to making things right with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, this is very simple, but we need to be doing this. See, we talk about prayer and the importance of praying, and the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It begins with God. God has told us how we should pray. And it continues with us actually praying this. And then He, in turn, will answer our requests. Now, obviously, though, he talks about not only our debts, but to forgive our debtors for those who have sinned against us. You know what I'm finding? I'm finding that Christians are so bitter. And they are not able to truly forgive others. Now, that's a puzzle to me. Because I know that when people are angry and bitter, you know, they find themselves in a situation where they just cannot pray. You know, the Bible tells us a husband and wife can't pray unless they're in unity with each other. Right? This is 1 Peter 3. The Bible tells us that if you notice in verse 14, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father, Heavenly Father will forgive you. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And people get very put out because of what somebody has said or what somebody has done. And the Bible says that we should forgive, you know, ask God to forgive us our debts. And it's interesting that in verse 11 he talks about daily bread. I think this is a good practice to daily make sure we are right with God, as well as that we are right with one another. What did Paul say? I've learned that I have a pure conscience before God and man. Is there somebody you need to go and make things right with? Jesus says, don't pray until you do that. And it's important that we understand that we should repent of any confessed, unconfessed sins. And then he tells us in verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, think about this, that one of the things that happens is why we sometimes get into some of the temptations we're in, because we forgot to ask God to deliver us from them. How will the devil tempt us? He'll tempt us with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And so we want to be saying, now, Lord, today I want you to deliver me from my lusts. Now, what kind of desires do you have that are wrong? What is it that you want that God doesn't want you to want? And Satan knows that if you're wanting something God doesn't want you to want, he can lead you into that temptation. And to ask God, you know, to deliver you from your laziness, maybe, or maybe from pride, or maybe anger, or maybe it could be selfishness, it could be impatience, it could be bitterness. These are areas of the flesh that we should be saying, now, Lord, you know I have a tendency to, and name it. For instance, Lord, you know that I can be very, very selfish. And you know I can want my way to the point that nobody else makes a difference. Deliver me from that, Lord. These are temptations of the flesh. Another temptation is the temptation of the world. The world is constantly tempting us. And the world is always causing us to stumble. Now, all you have to do to know what the world thinks is to watch television. You'll see what the world thinks. And so as a result, you know, you might have to say, now, Lord, you know that materialism, for instance, is something that I'm very tempted toward. Or you know that false religion is something that I fall for because I listen to all kinds of junk on the internet and they're saying all kinds of stuff, and I have a tendency to gravitate toward that. Well, if that's true with you, now, Lord, deliver me. Keep me from that internet site. Or that show that tends to instill or tend to excite lusts of the flesh in me. And to say, now, Lord, deliver me from the world. And what might be true to one person may not be true to another person. But you know what the lusts of your flesh are, and you know how the world gets you. Maybe it's music. You know, I was raised with a lot of bad music in my life. And as a result, some of those songs come back to me just like that, without even thinking about it. And sometimes those bad songs, I mean, they're terrible songs. And I say, now, Lord, deliver me from that. Keep me from gravitating toward those things. That can be of the world. So, we're tempted by the lust of the flesh. We're tempted by the world. Who else tempts us? The devil. Now, God, please protect me from Satan. He's stronger than I am. He's greater in strength than I am. And even Michael the archangel said, in confronting the devil, said, the Lord rebuke thee. And sometimes we get the idea that we somehow can get through a day without asking God's protection. So, we are to ask for protection from temptation. We should also acknowledge God's ownership. And this is what we see there in verse 13. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Someone said to me once, well, that's not in some of the best manuscripts. You ever hear those arguments? I said, well, doesn't it teach that somewhere in the Bible? Well, sure it does. Listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 29:11. David in his prayer says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Wow! That means God is in control. Now, the biggest issue that you and I face is we have to recognize that and realize that. And we acknowledge, you know, he's the one that gave me that car. He's the one that gave me that house. He's the one that gave me that money. He's the one that gives me that health. He's the one that gives me what I have. And people are constantly trying to get out from under the lordship of God. And it's wonderful to think that on a daily basis, if you just pray this sincerely, remember, it's not just rote memory. It's wonderful to know if you just pray this sincerely, you are placing yourself under the will of God, and it goes along with the will of God, and you are under, you are the under shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He has given me everything I need. He's given me everything because he is in charge. Now, a person who does that isn't going to walk around bitter and angry and discontent and infuriated because all these bad things are happening to them. No, God is in control. Now, one other thing to notice here, if you notice this prayer that Jesus gives, he says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, what's the next word? Our. And then he tells us about give us this day and forgive us. So in other words, this is in the plural. So which means that this certainly incorporates the idea we should pray for one another. Now, I would suggest you do this. Anybody that's under your authority, pray for them every day. Anybody that's under your leadership, make them a matter of prayer every day. And even I would encourage you to do this. Pray these requests that we just mentioned for them. Maybe it's your child. And you say, now, Lord, help my child be always looking for the coming of Christ. Let them be expectant. Lord, may my child do your will. And Lord, may there not be any sin or bitterness in them. And help them, Lord, to not be led into temptation. You know they have a tendency to, and you name it, to God. And you know they have a tendency to let their flesh do this. And they have a tendency to be inclined to listen to the world here. And you know that they have a tendency to be under the attack of the devil. Remember we saw that last Sunday night? Put on the whole armor of God. And you pray and you say, now Lord, help them to submit to your ownership. Maybe it's your spouse. pray the same thing for them? And again, we're not talking about long, long prayers, but thinking through every element of what Jesus says to do. Because it is the Lord's outline to pray. We should be praying for our leadership. We should be praying for our missionaries. You know, we could go on and on and on. And no wonder the disciples would have to say, Lord, teach us to pray. So tonight, I want to end by praying the Lord's Prayer with you. Can we? Let's pray this together and follow what He says. This isn't something I've created. This is what Jesus said. Now, Lord, I praise You, and we praise You for who You are. You're a marvelous God. You've done so many things for us, and we praise You for that. And Lord, come quickly. Help me as a Christian to not live with an expectant attitude that Jesus is coming soon. Now, Lord, I want to do Your will. And we want our church to do Your will. We don't want our church to be fighting against You. We want to be doing what You would have us to do. Lord, help me, even as I pray, help me to pray with sincerity and in truth. Because Your word tells us that they that worship You must worship You in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, give us our needs. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be safe driving home. Help us, Lord, to submit to You and provide for us. Lord, You know our needs. You know, we're going to have this missions budget and our regular church budget this week. And we ask that You would meet those needs. Lord, we ask that You'd confess, that we'd confess our sins. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, if there be any sin of Achan in our midst, Lord, I pray that You would root that out. And Father, we ask for Your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to do that which is right. Because Your word tells us that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, I pray that You would lead us not into the temptation. Lord, help us as a church. Father, help us to not act in the flesh, but help us to walk in the Spirit so that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, we pray that the world would not ever get its hands on our church. Let us not compromise with the world. Help us to always be pure in Your eyes. And Father, keep Satan away. Lord, may the devil never destroy us. Your word tells us regarding the church that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against us. I pray that Satan would not, even during this COVID-19, have a negative impact on us. Help us, Lord, to be the victors. And why do we pray this, Lord? Because You're the one who has the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we submit to You. And we'll praise You for what You do. For Jesus' sake, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.